welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. I'm Mark Levonier. Sitcoms coming up in this hour. Later on, it's The Magnificent Montague from 1951. But first, Chick Young's comic strip come to life, it's Blondie. From June 19, 1944, first heard on CBS, this is an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to... Sunday afternoon is the time for a man to relax, do a little reading, and make his plans for the week. In the Bumstead home this Sunday, Dagwood is relaxing, reading, and so far hasn't made a single plan for the coming week.
Dagwood, you've been reading the Sunday paper for 2 solid hours.
Well, you've been knitting all the time, dear, just doing knitting.
But I can talk while I knit.
Yeah, the last time I talked to you while you were knitting, you made a sleeveless sweater with an extra armhole over my stomach.
Should stop reading and talk with me a little.
Now, Blondie, dear, in the Sunday paper is a great American institution. It has lots of valuable information in it. Look at this big story in the magazine section. Look at this.
Well, that's an interesting title anyway. Mm-hmm. How to Get $1 Million Without Stealing It.
Listen to this. The world is the richest place you could be.
Where else could you be?
Yeah. Man is surrounded by endless and untold wealth.
And it all belongs to somebody else. Hey, let me see the rest of it.
Yeah, here.
Let's see. It says, the seas are filled with billions of dollars worth of gold. All you have to do is find out how to recover it. Mm-hmm. Bend a piece of wire into something useful, and society will reward you with millions. Mm-hmm. It says, the earth is carpeted with valuable flowers and plants, and the air teems with rare insects. Some of them worth a year's salary to a working man.
Yeah. Look here.
Look at
they
that.
Have photographs of some of the rare insects and plants in full color. Look at that. Blondie, they just couldn't make that up, you know.
I guess you're right.
Blondie.
Yes, dear.
Would you be mad at me if I became a millionaire, huh?
Maybe. But I'd get over it.
Good. I think I'll go down to my workshop in the basement right now.
What for?
I'm going to get to work on my first million.
Say, Mom, where's Pop?
He's down in the basement, Alexander. You mustn't disturb him.
Why, is he sleeping?
No, he's busy making $1 million.
Gosh, again?
Well, he read an article in the Sunday paper that said every man can be a millionaire, and now he wants to be one. Maybe we'll all be rich tomorrow.
I'm glad that article didn't say every man could jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. We might all be orphans tomorrow.
I know.
Where is the Sunday paper?
In the living room.
Cookie, let's take it up to my room and look at it. Maybe we'll make our first million before Pop does.
Blondie, how do you like this?
Well, frankly, I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. What is it?
You see, I just bent a little piece of wire into something that's useful, so society will reward me with $1 million. Now, when you look at it like this, it's a hairpin.
That's an awfully big hairpin.
Yeah, but turn it this way and it's a barbecue fork. See?
Well, wonders never cease. What's this little gadget on it?
Oh, that's a special invention. Yeah. So you can scratch your feet without taking your shoes off.
Dagwood.
Yeah.
I don't think society is ready for that yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to... wait a minute, Blondie. There's a fly in the room. Oh, wait till I get a magazine and I'll kill it.
Now, be careful, Dagwood. Somebody always gets hurt when you start one of those big game hunts.
Yeah, look out. Look out. Look out, Blondie. Aha! He's on the lamp. Hey, well, wait a minute. Look at him.
Yeah?
He looks like one of the rare insects in that newspaper story.
Oh, go on.
No kidding. Shh, don't scare him away. Look at that. He's got a green head, blue legs, a yellow body, and red wings.
My goodness. Dagwood, you're right.
This is the rarest insect in the world.
How rare?
About $2,000 rare.
I'll go right out and get an empty jar. Keep your eyes open.
Yeah, I am, Blondie.
What's he doing now?
Washing his feet. Hey, now look, he's sort of polishing his wings. I hope he doesn't polish off any of that $2,000.
Here's the jar, Dagwood.
Okay.
See if you can catch him in it. Now, don't hurt him.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Okay. Here goes now.
Yeah?
I guess you're really convinced now that he's a real valuable fly, aren't you, huh?
No, but we can't afford to take any chances at $2,000 a fly.
Yeah.
Oh, here he comes, dear.
Oh, there he goes, dear. Oh. Here, fly. Come on, fly. Blondie, how do you call a fly?
Oh, well, maybe a buzz for him.
A buzz? Well, I'll try anything once. Buzz, buzz. I broke my buzzer, I think. Come here, here, fly. Come on, little flyzy-wisey. Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
Over there.
Huh?
Over there by the door.
Holy smoke, he's crawling under it. He'll get away. Blondie, I'm going to chase him.
But, Dagwood, he probably really isn't the fly you were reading
yeah,
about.
Yeah, there he goes. I'll see you later. Here, fly. Oh. Doggone it. He keeps just out of my reach. Hey, fly. Let's both of us rest for 5 minutes, then start all over again, huh? Oh, he's going into a house now. Oh, yeah. It's Mr. Dithers' house. Oh, boy, now I'll get him. Oh, I got him. I got him. I got him in a jar. 2,000 red and green dollars with blue feet.
Look, Cora. I found him lying in the front room, holding a fruit jar in his hand.
Julius, he looks like he's half dead.
He looks the same way at the office. Mom said, wake up.
Julius, don't slap his face so hard.
Well, I gotta bring him too, and I might as well enjoy myself.
Hello, Mr. Dithers. Hello, Mrs. Dithers.
Dagwood, stop shaking my hand and tell me what happened.
What? Oh, excuse me. Well, I fell down. I was too weak to get up. I chased a fly all the way from my house to your house.
You chased a fly all the way over here?
Yeah.
Bumstead, isn't that carrying a personal grudge too far?
No, I was trying to capture him, Mr. Dithers.
I don't see how you did it. After all, this fly has a bigger brain than you.
Well, he's worth more money than I am, too. This fly happens to be worth $2,000.
I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it. Not even if he could dance on the ceiling and write out Arthur Murray in smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, but just look in the jar, see? It has a green head and blue legs, a yellow body and red wings. Look.
So what? I've got a sport coat just like it.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is the rarest insect in the world. The gumus fly.
The humus fly?
The gumus fly.
Huh? Oh, Bob said. You don't expect me to bite on that one.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm taking it home. And if you don't believe it's worth that much, just look in the magazine section of the Sunday paper.
Oh, sure.
Well, so long. And thanks for the use of your house. It's a wonderful fly trap. Hey, look, Blondie, I got it.
Oh, good for you, Dagwood.
Yes, sir. There he is, the good old gumus fly. Blondie, you know something? You're looking at $2,000.
Mm-hmm. Say, Dagwood.
The
fly may be worth $2,000.
Yeah.
But who's going to pay that for him?
Hey, that's right. Who is going to buy it?
I wouldn't pay that for a little fly. But, say, why don't you call the paper and ask them who wants it?
Okay, that's a good idea. After all, they said somebody wanted it, though.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'll also tell them that, if they want to interview a couple of celebrities, the fly and I will be home all day.
There's the phone again, Mom.
I'll get it, but it's probably for you, Dagwood.
Well, okay, then you get it, dear.
Boy, it's been ringing all day. Ever since that story about your catching the fly was in the morning's paper.
Hello? Yes, just a minute.
Who's it for, dear?
It's for you, Frank Buck.
Yeah. Thanks, dear. Hello? This is Bring 'em Back Alive in a Jar, Bumstead speaking. Huh? What? Oh, sure. Oh, okay, yeah. I'd be glad to see you, Professor. Oh, yes, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Who was it, Dagwood?
Well, a professor from some college. He's interested in the fly. I hope he brings the money to buy it.
Oh, there's the door again.
Maybe you oughtn't to let anybody else see the fly for a while.
Why, Alexander?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, Pop. They might look at it so hard they wear it out.
I don't think that's likely to happen.
Homestead! Open that door, you fly brain.
I think it's Mr. Dithers.
Well, I think I'll go upstairs and read for a while.
Yeah, I'm coming, Mr. Dithers.
I'll open the door, Dagwood. Come in, Mr. Dithers.
Thank you.
What did you want, Mr. Dithers?
I wanted to have a little friendly talk with Deadwood in private.
Well, really, excuse me. I think I'd better take the Gulmas fly along with me.
Oh, Blondie, don't you trust me?
What do you think, Mr. Dithers?
I think not. Bunk said, old Buddykins, yeah. I just came over to see how our fly was doing.
Oh, it's just five, our fly.
Well, after all, it's really my fly. Mm. You caught in my house. And anything that's in my house belongs to me.
Mm. I was there, and I don't belong to you, Mr. Dennis.
Only because I don't want you. Now, hand over that fly.
Nothing doing. I wouldn't part with that fly any more than he would part with his gumas.
Homestead, I'm going to give you one more chance.
I don't want it.
Okay, you're fired.
Okay, send my 2 weeks' pay over in the morning.
I can't afford it, so you're hired again.
Thank you, but I want a raise.
Nothing doing.
Okay, I quit.
Fine, now you don't get the 2 weeks' pay.
Yeah, how'd I get mixed up in this? I don't care. I'm going to be a millionaire anyway.
That's all right with me, because that fly is mine, and I'll sue you for every speck you've got.
Oh, Mr. Dithers, it's you again.
Yes. Bumstead, this is my final offer. Give me a half interest in that fly, and I'll hire you back again.
Here's my final answer. Ha-ha! Goodbye now.
Bumstead, this is my final offer. Make me an offer.
Beat it before I stick the dogs on you.
That's the best offer I've had today.
Hey, Mom.
What is it, Alexander?
There's a man coming up the front walk.
He's wearing a beard.
Oh, I'll bet it's Mr. Diddy's wearing a disguise. Oh, boy, will I fix him. Watch what happens when I pull that beard off of him, oh, boy.
Now, be careful, dear.
Don't worry.
How do you do? I'm from the Nature History Museum, and I am Professor Gustav Hegelmeier.
Yeah, and I'm Professor Einstein.
A pleasure to meet you, Professor, but you don't look like your picture.
Yeah, well, I've dyed my hair. Just like that you've glued on this beard. Oh, my.
Excuse me, Professor. I'm Mrs. Bumstead.
You are married to this man here?
Yes.
What a pity, a nice young girl like you throwing away her life.
I'm awfully sorry, Professor, about...
I don't blame you.
Well, you see, I thought you were somebody else, Professor.
I could be.
Won't you come in?
Thank you. Where is the Gumas fly?
Table in that jar there.
Well, I guess now we'll find out that the fly isn't really the Gumas fly.
That's just what I was thinking.
Oh, it's a real thing, all right.
Mr. Bumstead, do you have my glasses?
No.
That's funny, neither do I. But no matter, I can see well enough. Oh, yes, it is the Gumas fly. Oh, I'm so happy.
Oh, my goodness.
Not really.
Gosh, I still don't believe it.
Yeah, well, I knew it. I knew it all the time.
Oh, yes. It has the blue legs, the yellow body, the red wings, and the green head. No other fly in the world can make that statement.
Well, I guess not, no.
Professor, are you quite sure that this is a Goomis fly?
Positive. There is no question about it. You see, the Goomis fly was discovered by my old friend, Johann Sebastian Goomis. He named it for his wife, Elsa.
But if it's called a Goomis fly, how could it be named for his wife, Elsa?
Yeah.
Elsa Goomis, of course.
Yeah, Professor, just where in Africa was the Goomis fly found, huh?
Oh, what a question. That's like asking, where was the horse fly found?
Well, naturally, the horse fly was found on a horse. But where was the Goomis fly found?
Where is on my friend Goomis?
Then how should we take care of it, Professor? I'm beginning to worry about it now.
Well, Mrs. Bumstead, since the fly comes from Africa,
yes,
I suggest you put it in a warm container with wet moss and leaves for food and keep it damp.
Oh, we'll do that. Yes.
And who knows, this fly might give out the mating call and zoom, you might have another Goomis fly.
Oh, smoke. $2,000. Come on, Blondie. This fly is going to have a little bit of Africa right here on Shady Lane Avenue. Even if I have to play the jungle tom-toms myself.
Well, there. The fly certainly ought to be happy now.
Yeah.
Large fishbowl and plenty of moss and nice green leaves.
Yeah, and this perfume atomizer with warm water in it. You see, that makes the air nice and moist.
Yeah.
Just like Africa.
Squirt them a little more, Dr. Livingston.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, here goes. Holy smoke.
What's the matter, Dagwood?
Look at what's happening to our Goomis fly.
Oh, the color's coming off of him.
Yeah, look at that. The Goomis is washing right off of him.
And it looks very suspiciously like watercolor.
Yeah.
Alexander Bumstead?
I cannot tell a lie, Mother. I did it with my little watercolor set. I painted the fly.
And I helped him.
You helped him? Well, what did you do?
I held the fly.
And all this time, we thought we had a very valuable fly. Oh, Alexander.
Well, I'm awful sorry, Pop. I didn't think it'd get to be such a big thing. I saw the same article in the Sunday paper, and I just painted a horse fly to look like the Goomis fly.
Well, why didn't you tell us sooner, Alexander?
Oh, I feel like I just lost $2,000.
Well, gosh, I wanted to tell you, but I don't know. I never could do it at the right time. Mrs. Diggins was making such a fuss about it, and then the professor...
Hey, wait a minute.
Have you got an idea, Dad?
Oh, and how? Alexander, I'll forgive you if you paint the fly again.
Now, Dagwood, what are you going to do?
I'm going to call Mr. Gitters and do a little horsefly trading right now. Ah, I hate myself when I get these fiendish ideas.
Oh, Cora.
What do you want, hotshot?
Oh, stop. Cora, I want you to call up Blondie and tell her you think I'm entitled to at least half of that Goomis fly.
In that case, I know the half you ought to get. That fly isn't yours and you know it.
I know, but I want to chisel in on it a little.
Oh, I'll get it. Oh, why, it's Dagwood. Hello, Dagwood.
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Dithers. Hello, Mr. Diddy.
Mom said you swindler.
Yeah?
You ingrate. You outgrate. You downtrodden upstart. You gibbering, jabbering jackass.
Yeah. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Mr. Diddy, everything you say about me is true.
Huh?
Yeah, you're right, J.C. I have been ungrateful. You've always been so swell to me. I'm ashamed of myself for catching the rarest fly in the world and not offering to share it with you. I hate myself.
I hate you, too.
Julius, let him go on. He can't be in his right mind.
Why not?
Because he said so many nice things about you.
Mr. Dennis, you've been a real pal to me, and I'm going to give you a half interest in the fly.
Oh, thank you, Dagwood.
Oh, I feel so awful about the way I've treated you, Mr. Dennis. I just don't care what happens to the other half of the fly.
Well, maybe you'd like to sell your half to me.
Oh, no, it's worth quite a bit, and it wouldn't be fair to take that much money from you.
All right, all right. I'll offer you less than it's worth, then.
Okay. Okay. Then how much? It's worth 500.
I'll give you 250.
150. I mean, 350.
200.
250.
100.
Sold.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but that was the darndest bidding I ever heard.
Well, let's go right over to your house. I want to see it first.
Okay, but don't forget your checkbook.
Bum said, how do I know this Goomis fly is the real McCoy?
We knew you'd think of that, Mr. Diddy.
Yeah, so we asked an authority to come over and prove it to you. Oh, Professor Hegelmeyer.
Bitte, Mr. Bumstead.
Mr. Diddy, this is Professor Gustav Hegelmeyer.
Of the Natural History Museum, Hegelmeyer.
Yeah, well, I... Glad to know you, Professor Hegelmeyer.
Thank you. I'm glad to know me also.
Professor, is this fly Bumstead has really a Goomis fly?
There is no question about it.
Then how the dickens can you tell the difference? Maybe it's just an ordinary fly.
There is always one sure way to tell the Goomis fly.
Really? How?
Well, you know how the ordinary house fly is all the time washing his feet.
Yes.
The Goomis fly is never washing his feet.
Then how does he keep them clean?
He don't walk in the dirt.
Professor. That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, sure, it is ridiculous. This is a scientific joke, Mr. Dizzle.
Well, this Goomis fly better not be a joke, or Bumstead will regret the day he caught it.
Hey, here you are. Here you are, Mr. Dizzle. Here's your bull. And there, look at that. The little Goomis fly. Look at him.
Oh, isn't he pretty?
He couldn't be prettier if he were hand-painted.
Yeah, not possibly.
The beautiful specimen.
Yeah.
Well, I'll believe him now. Just think, the most valuable fly in the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. Dithers, don't forget about that check.
Oh, yes, I forgot to give it to you.
Yeah.
How could it have slipped my mind?
Oh, I'll bet it was easy.
I did. Here you are, Dagwood, $100.
Oh, thanks, J.C.
I hope you and the fly will be very happy, Mr. Dithers.
You bet we will. I'm going to make a nice, juicy profit on him.
Yeah, well, look out for that chair, Mr. Dithers.
Oh!
Are you all right, Mr. Dithers?
Never mind me. Where's the fly?
Yeah. Oh, it went out the door. Back to Africa.
I don't know.
Here, Goomis, wait for me.
Oh, my lovely Goomis fly.
Yeah.
And all that money. Bumstead, I think you put that chair there deliberately.
No, I didn't, Mr. Dithers.
$2,000. Gone out the window. Oh, no.
I can't stand to hear a man cry.
Give Mr. Dithers his money back, Dagwood.
Huh? Well, couldn't I watch him squirm just a little bit more?
Dagwood.
Okay. Well, here you are, J.C.
Oh, Dagwood.
Yeah.
Blondie, thank you so much. And Dagwood, you're back on the payroll again.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Dithers. And I'm glad to give you back the $100 that I keep pretending.
It wasn't a real Goomis fly. We like you too much, Mr. Dithers. We never would have cashed your check.
I know you wouldn't have. I was going to stop payment on it anyway.
The Blondie Show was heard in the United States over NBC, the national broadcasting company, and has been rebroadcast for our servicemen and women overseas by the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
A comic strip and film institution translated to radio, that was Blondie, first heard on June 19, 1944 on CBS. Stars Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake would appear in no less than 28 motion pictures based on these characters, the first on the big screen in 1938. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Now time for NBC's Magnificent Montague, heard on April 27th, 1951.
National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribed, The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. It's been a long, hard winter for Edwin Montague. This was the winter that marked his final surrender to radio, from the Magnificent Montague of the Shakespearean stage to Uncle Goodhart of an afternoon radio program. Yes, this was the winter of his discontent. He is resting in his den after dinner. His wife, Lily, is clearing away the dinner dishes. Agnes, their maid, has kindly consented to help her.
Would I love you, love you, love you. Love you, love you, love you, love you. Would I... Well, that finishes that set.
Agnes, what was that?
Nothing, honey. Just broke my dish for the day. Would I love you, love you, love me?
Not so much noise. Edwin is resting.
May he rest in peace.
Agnes, I'm worried about him lately. He looks terrible.
That's just what I told you.
When?
25 years ago, the day you married him.
I'm serious, Agnes. Don't you think he looks thin? He's lost his bounce.
No, I don't know. Let's go in and bounce him a few times.
Oh, Agnes, please. Did you notice he didn't eat a bite of your cooking? Maybe he's getting sick.
Maybe he's getting smart.
There's that radio job. All his life he's been in the theater. This is the first time he's ever had a steady job. It's a grind, Agnes. Believe me, it's no fun for Edwin to be on the air 5 times a week.
For his listeners, it ain't either.
Agnes, I have it. I know what to do with Edwin.
Go ahead, honey. No matter what you do, the police won't get a word out of me.
Don't be silly. This summer, I'm going to get him out of New York.
Get Montague out of New York? You got a better chance of moving the Statue of Liberty.
Well, he's never spent a summer in the country. He'll love it.
I can see Montague with the cows and chickens.
Someplace where he can just sprawl out and relax.
Are you kidding? If he ever lays down with that beard, he'll wake up with an egg in it.
Oh, don't be silly. When he was a boy, he used to love the country.
When he was a boy, there were no cities.
Agnes, you're always intimating that Edwin is old.
Intimating? I've seen that picture of him in the army marching under the Washington Monument.
Lots of soldiers have marched under the Washington Monument.
Right behind Washington?
Stop exaggerating.
All right, all right. But a boy, he ain't.
Agnes, I'm determined to get him out of New York this summer. Now, we'll rent a... Oh, I'll get the phone, Agnes. Hello? Oh, Mr. Harrison. No, we're staying home tonight. Canasta, wonderful. Come over as soon as you can.
Who was that, as if I didn't know the Harrisons across the hall were coming over for Canasta?
Sam and Martha Harrison are the first neighbors we've ever had in New York who are neighborly. A little card game will be nice and relaxing for Edwin.
Oh, sure.
Lily?
Here he comes, Mr. Coffee Nerves.
Edwin, did you get a nice rest in your den?
Who can rest in that debris? Agnes, just once would you break tradition and clean it?
Now, Edwin, don't start with Agnes.
Lily, I don't mind a little dust. Well, I find mushrooms growing under the clout.
Exaggerating. The mice got those mushrooms 2 weeks ago.
All right, Agnes. Now, Edwin, please don't get upset. You're so jumpy and nervous lately.
Nonsense. You want to see how steady I can hold my hand around Agnes's throat?
Edwin, now look at yourself. You're pale, circles under your eyes. You're getting a pot belly.
Pot belly? Oh, ridiculous. There's one thing I can say. I carry myself very well.
And what you can't carry, you drag.
Poor Agnes.
Please, both of you act your age. Edwin, you're getting worse every day.
Lily, I'm just a little tired.
And staying in the city this summer, as you always do, won't help.
What are you driving at?
Edwin, this summer we're going to take a house in the country.
Oh, no.
Now, Edwin.
A house in the country. Oh, goody. Our own little garden where we could plant Agnes. Well, that's out. I hate the country.
Well, just this summer, let's get out of New York with its heat and all that soot and dirt blowing around.
So you want to go to the country where it all comes from?
But Amy, you need a nice quiet place where you can rest.
I certainly do, and I'm going right to bed. Good night. Oh,
wait, Edwin. The Harrisons are coming over for canasta.
Oh, no, not again.
Now, Edwin.
If you're looking for a nice, quiet place, let's rent their apartment. They're always here.
Well, a little canasta game with Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha, will relax your mind.
It'll unhinge it. I hate canasta, and I hate the Harrisons, and I hate the idea of wasting an evening.
Oh, that's Sam and Martha.
I'll get the door.
Ah, the Harrisons. Come in.
How do you do, Mrs. Montague? I was just saying to Martha, we haven't been over to the Montague since last night. They'll think we moved back to St. Louis. Isn't that just what I said, Martha?
Yes.
Mr. Harrison, you mean there's an outside chance? I mean, you are thinking of moving back to St. Louis?
Not on your life. We're New Yorkers now. East side, west side, all around, yeah. Let me tell you, sir, you can bet your bottom dollar St. Louis will never see us again. Tell me, Mr. Montague, have you ever been in St. Louis?
No, but right now it seems like the place to be.
Edwin, I'll get the card table.
Watch how you put up that card table, Mrs. Montague. About 1 year ago, I was putting one up. A leg collapsed, got my hand caught in it, tripped, fell down, broke my jaw so badly I couldn't open my mouth for a month. Remember that, Martha?
Yeah.
Let's start playing. Edwin has to get to bed early. You deal, Edwin.
Canasta again. Wait, how about a few hands of bridge?
Bridge?
That's right, Edwin. We used to play bridge in the dressing room when we were in the theater.
Yes, I used to love bridge. It's a faster game, more exciting. I'll deal.
Okay with me. I win at all games. You know what they say, lucky in cards, unlucky in love. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
Pick up your card. I bid, eh? I bid one club.
Two diamonds.
Two spades.
Martha?
Yes.
You pass?
Yes.
She passes.
She passes. Let me see here. I bid three clubs. You bid, Sam.
Say, could I have the bids again?
Oh, no. I opened with a club.
I bid two diamonds.
I bid two spades.
Martha passed.
Yes.
I went to three clubs. It's up to you.
Up to me, eh? Three clubs. Say, speaking of clubs, did I ever tell you how I met Martha? Well, sir, there was an elf dance.
Oh, please, we're playing cards. It's your bid. Your south bid.
I am the suit. Well, I'll bid three diamonds, you all. Yeah.
Oh, let's go, Lily.
Three spades.
Martha?
Yes.
Does that mean you pass?
Yes.
Now she's mad. It's up to me, huh? And I bid four clubs. Your bid, Sam.
Meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me at...
Oh, Sam.
Did you say something?
It's your bid.
Oh. Well, I guess I wasn't paying any attention. Yeah. What's the bid?
It's up to four clubs.
Five diamonds.
Pass.
Martha?
Yes.
I double.
Redouble. Whatever that means.
Come on, let's play.
Martha's dummy, eh?
Yes.
Doubled and redoubled. Now we're set. I lead. Martha, put out your card. We're going to play bridge. Let's play. You go, Sam.
How many cards have you got?
13. We all have 13.
Not me. I've only got 12. Mixed deal.
Yeah. No. Oh. There's a card under the table.
Mixed deal. Oh, playing bridge with the Harrisons. I must be out of my head.
Yes.
All right. I'll deal over. I have time for just one hand. I'm going to bed.
Anyway, to make a short story long, I said to this policeman...
Sam, it's your bid.
Oh, so it is. My mind was miles away.
I wish you were with it.
Edwin.
Lily, it's midnight. We're still bidding on the first game. There were three mixed deals. Twice Agnes got mustard on the card. Once the table collapsed. Three times Martha had to cross the hall to see if that babysitter got into the liquor.
Did she, Martha?
Sam, it's your bid.
It is, isn't it? Would you kindly review the bidding?
I opened with a spade, which reminded you of a story about two old maids. You bid two clubs, which reminded you of a story about a club you belonged to. Lily bid two diamonds, which reminded you about a baseball story. Martha passed, which reminded you about a story about Martha. We all blush. I bid seven spades. That's a grand slam. Now it's up to you.
Grand slam? Say, that reminds me of a story. I got a friend.
I don't believe it. I just bid a grand slam, and I'm going to play it.
A grand slam? You won't make it. I'll lead a jack.
Oh, I won't, eh? Lay out your cards. Hello there. I trump the jack. My trick. I play the king of trumps. Queen of trumps. Jack of trumps. Ace, king, queen of diamonds. Ace, king, queen of clubs. The ace, king of hearts. And the last trick, the ace of spades. Grand slam.
Oh, Edwin.
Wait a minute.
What is it? The game's over.
I have three cards left.
Three cards left?
What do you know? There's six cards on the floor. Mixed deal. Yeah.
Six cards on the floor. There's only one way for us to play, under the table.
Now, Edwin, just one hand.
Lily, look at the time. I've got to get some sleep.
Say, it is late. I must say you folks keep us up till all hours. Let's go, Martha.
Well, it was nice having you over.
Wonderful. Yes, wonderful. I'll walk you to the door. Good night.
Good night. Certainly enjoyed the game.
Good night.
You got everything, Martha?
Yes.
You know, she's always forgetting something. Reminds me, I ever tell you about the time she left her purse at the Paramount Theater?
Sam, I am out on my feet some of the time.
This will only take a moment. When we wanted to go back, they wanted us to buy tickets.
Sam.
Well, I explained to the manager. He was decent enough. Tall fellow with white hair. I forget his name. He gave me his card.
Sam.
Well, anyway, he called the head usher. Bright kid. He had red hair. Do you know they train those ushers 6 months before they let them lay a hand on a flashlight? Well, I tell you, it's lucky someone turned in the purse. Shows there's one honest man left in the world.
Sam.
They asked Martha to identify the contents of the purse.
Sam.
But it was a good thing Martha remembered what was in it. She just bought 2 pounds of liver for dinner. That was that. Well, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
They're gone. Lily, help me to bed.
I'll turn out the light.
Oh, no!
It's us again. Martha forgot her purse. Mind if we look around?
Sam.
Well, it isn't under the card table.
No, it doesn't seem to be. Oh, wait a minute. Say, Martha.
Yes?
When you were at the Paramount this afternoon...
Yes?
Did you forget your purse there?
Yes.
I'm sorry to have bothered you. Where's the door? Yeah, let's go, Martha. Good night.
Good night.
Say,
Sam.
I almost forgot. My company has come up with a most amazing life insurance policy.
Sam. Go home.
Now, I happen to have an application right here. It won't take...
So ends another episode of Uncle Goodheart. And until he meets you again tomorrow in his little cottage on the sunny side of the lane, here is Uncle Goodheart with his thought for the day.
When your neighbor's car slips off the jack and pins him under the wheel, kneel down and soothe him with a song in my merry Oldsmobile.
The air, Mr. Monaghan.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Well, as I always say, early. early to bed, early to rise, keeps a man healthy, wealthy, and out of the nightclubs.
Oh, spring up, please.
Remember, a man of your age can't go hooting around burning the candle at both ends. You could use a little shut-eye.
You could use a little shut-mouth.
Shut-mouth, that's rich. Yeah, but you do look a little peaked, Mr. Montague.
I know, Gad. I feel lower than a burlesque patron's thought.
Well, all you need is... Oh, here's our director, Mr. Zinzer.
Hi, folks.
Quiet, Zinzer. Mr. Montague's a wreck. Just look at him.
Oh, heavens, did you get the license number?
Oh, Zinzer, I'm just tired. I was up till 4 this morning.
Blonde or brunette?
Quiet, blonde or brunette. The very idea.
It's a good idea.
I must say, Zinda, you are particularly obnoxious today.
Oh, have you noticed it, too?
Zinda, stop annoying Mr. Montague. Can't you see he's pooped out?
Who says I'm pooped out?
Did somebody say you were pooped out? I didn't say you were pooped out. Zinda, did you say he was pooped out?
I didn't say he was pooped out. Who said he was pooped out?
Oh, quiet. Quiet.
They're off and running at Bellevue. Now, you two, be quiet, both of you.
You're sure on edge, Mr. Montague. You're ready for your summer vacation.
All I need is a night's sleep. After bed at 4, 2 minutes after 4, the garbage trucks arrived. The merry collectors began throwing cans at each other. When they got through, another truck backed up and delivered 10 tons of coal.
10 tons of coal?
Believe me, I counted every piece. My wife, Lily, is right. I've just got to get out of the city.
Springer, where do you go for the summer? Well, the wife and I love to go camping.
Oh, no. I can see Lily and on a camping trip.
Well, my wife and I love it. It's great. Up before sunrise, chopping wood for the fire, getting the fire going, grab the fishing rod, wade out up to the hips in that icy stream, catching fish, bringing them back to camp, cleaning them out, putting them on the fire, getting the coffee going. And then she comes into the tent and wakes me for breakfast. I tell you, a few weeks of that, and I'm ready to go to work.
And she's ready for a sanitarium. Where do you go for the summer, Zinzer?
Oh, I got a little cottage on Lake Ronkonkomatchee.
Ronkonkomatchee. That's an Indian name.
No, it's named after a farmer around there. Sam Ronkonkomatchee.
That's his name?
Yeah. He's got the longest mailbox in the county.
Ah, Zinzer, I admire you. You've been able to save up for your own home in the Bronx and your own summer cottage. I suppose you can't wait to get out there this summer.
Oh, we can't leave the city this summer. My wife can't be too far from the hospital. She's expecting.
Zinzer, not again.
Well, what are you going to do?
This will be your tent.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? My wife likes the pitter-patter of tiny feet.
10 children.
Yeah. Just when one pitter-patter peters out, another pitter-patter patters out.
And you won't be able to get out to your cottage this summer. And you say it's quiet out there?
When my family isn't there, it is, yes.
Zinzer, why don't you let me rent your cottage for the summer?
There's always a lot of cottages out there for rent. When the news leaks out that my family isn't coming up this year, they'll all be snapped up.
It's quiet, peaceful. Zinzer, it's a deal. When can I see the cottage?
Say, I could drive you up there in my Chevy this afternoon. You can even spend the night there.
The night? A good night's sleep in the country. Zinzer, I love you.
I love you too, Mr. Montague.
I'll call Lily. I'll have her pack an overnight bag and we'll be off on this highway riding into the sun.
And life.
Yes, thank you, Zinzer.
Edwin, it's wonderful getting out of New York.
Oh, don't talk, Lily. Just let me soak in that fresh air.
Look, for the last time, you're going to close that car window.
What's the matter, Agnes? Can't you stand a little breeze?
I don't mind the breeze, but that beard of yours is whipping me to death.
Oh, we had to take her along.
I haven't got enough babbling brooks in the country. Didn't, sir?
Yes, Mr. Montague.
You said the place was only an hour away. We've been driving an hour and a half already.
Well, don't worry about me. I could drive this highway 18 with my eyes closed.
Well, open them up. For the last half hour, you've been on Highway 6.
6? Well, what do you know?
Well, I know we're on the wrong road. Didn't I told you to get a map?
No, I don't need a map. Let me think.
There's a filling station. Pull up and let's ask for the directions.
Okay, I sure hate to bother people.
Excuse me, attendant.
Welcome to Stanley's Stopover. What'll it be, Dad?
Could you tell us...
Need any gas, oil, grease, tune up your motor, cold pop, fan belt, cigarettes, Riderdale vitamin pills, jerk beef, Blue Jay corn plasters, key to the powder room, heated cabin?
No, all I want are some directions.
It's figured.
How do we get to,
Lake Ronkonkomachi.
Let me see, Lake Ronkonkomachi. Well, you go back about 10 miles, turn left at the papaya juice stand... Keep going till you hit a dirt road that says no trespassing. Laugh at it. And take that road till you hit the lake.
Thank you. Now let's go, Zinza.
You sure you don't want any gas?
No, thanks. Hurry, Zinza.
Been driving around for hours.
Lily, just be quiet. Look, I think we're finally getting someplace.
Goody, I've always wanted to see Canada.
That's enough out of you, Agnes.
Edwin, we've had enough bickering.
The man said a papaya juice stand. You'd think that four adults could remember directions.
Edwin, it's getting dark.
Edwin, it's getting dark. Edwin, it's getting dark. I know it's getting dark. Zinza, I told you to get a map.
Zinza, get a map. Zinza, get a map. That's all I've heard for 6 hours.
All right. Let's not fight among ourselves. Wait. There's a filling station. Let's find out where we are.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Welcome to Stanley's Stopover. What'll it be, Dad? Make gas, oil, grease?
Oh, no.
Return of Monte Cristo.
We followed your directions. We've been driving around for 6 hours.
And you still don't need any gas?
No.
Was that car run on seltzer?
All I want is information.
Why don't you take some air? That's free, too.
Please, we've got to get to Lake Ronkonkomachi. It's dark.
Okay, let me see. Now, you turn left, go down about 30 miles.
Give me the road, the white winding highway.
This is India.
Where's the lake? I'll get the cottage open.
Oh, Edwin, wake up.
What happened?
Edwin, we're here. Lake Ronkonkomachi.
I don't believe it. 4 a.m. Lily, get me into bed.
Agnes, wake up.
Look how sweet she looks. Oh, don't wake her up, Lily. Let her sleep in the car. We'll just roll the car down into the lake.
You roll who down into the lake?
She's up. Let's get into the cottage. That air. We're next to nature.
Smells more like we're next to a riding academy.
Welcome to Zinzer's Nest. Want me to show you around?
My bedroom. Where's my bedroom?
Right through there.
Well, Edwin, you're tearing your clothes off.
Hurry up, Lily, hurry. Listen to that quiet. Now the bed. This is what I need.
You ready, Edwin? I'm turning out the light.
Good.
Good night, Edwin.
Good night, Lily. What's that? Lily, lock the door. Whoa.
Oh, Edwin, that's just a little cricket.
A little cricket yelling like that?
Oh, they don't yell. They make that noise rubbing their legs together. Now go to sleep. Good night, dear.
Good night. Cricket. Quite a loud noise they get rubbing their legs together. That one must be wearing corduroy pants.
Go to sleep.
All right. Lily.
Wait, but that's just a bullfrog.
Good night. Frog. Cricket.
Edwin, that's just an owl. Come
him out from under the bed.
Lily, Zinza tricked us. He brought us to the Bronx Zoo.
Edwin, that's just country nightlife.
I'll get used to it. Good night. Lily, this is impossible.
Edwin, stay in bed.
Oh, where's the window? Here. Shut up. Good night, Lily.
Good night, Edwin.
Don't tell me that's a bird.
It's the people in the next cottage.
Oh, look, they're moving in.
I'll stop that. I'll stop it.
Hey, out there. Can't you wait till morning?
Edwin, why do you... Look, they're coming over. You got them mad.
Oh, no, 4 a.m, and I'm in an argument with neighbors.
They're coming to the window.
All right. I'll open the window.
How do you do, Mr. Montague? Thought I recognized your voice.
Yeah.
Oh, the Harrison. Yes, sir. We're just moving in for the summer, aren't we, Martha?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Edwin, come back into the house. Where are you running in your pajamas?
Back to New York.
Join us again next week at the same time for another transcribed visit with the magnificent Montague.
Transcribed. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Magnificent Montague, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 27th of April, 1951, an NBC broadcast wrapping up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us again for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.